Welcome to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast for corporate refugees who want to do more of what they love and get paid what they're worth. I'm David Schreiner Kahn, your guide and community builder. Smashing the Plateau is more than just a podcast. We're a platform offering resources, accountability, and camaraderie to high-performing professionals who are making the leap from the corporate career track to entrepreneurial business ownership. If you'd like to learn more about how you can do more of what you love and get paid what you're worth, go to smashingtheplateau.com or email us at info@smashingtheplateau.com.
You have to think about your time, and I use calendar, and I really do like block my calendar to do all of those things, which is super important. And some of just the logistics of starting a business, right? Setting up your contracting, your billing, your LLC, getting legal help, all of that is a part of it that takes time, right? So really blocking the time and researching what you need to start the business was really important in the first few years.
Today's episode with my guest, Katie Wilson, is packed with insights for anyone looking to untangle the complexities of building a consulting business. You'll hear how Katie transitioned from a high-powered corporate role to launching a consulting practice and the pivotal lessons learned along the way. Discover practical strategies for managing your time, building a personal brand on the right channels, and honing your niche so you can stand out in a crowded market. We'll also explore the power of community, leveraging partnerships, and how to balance creativity with analytics for long-term business growth. Whether you're just starting out or seeking to elevate your consulting practice, this conversation is filled with actionable wisdom to help you move forward with greater confidence and clarity. Now let's welcome Katie Wilson. Katie is the founder of Sirius Moonlight Consulting, a sales and marketing leader helping tech and retail companies achieve sustainable growth. After leaving big tech with 15 years at Google as head of sales, she has been able to help a variety of startups, companies, and individuals untangle and demystify their sales and marketing processes. Katie, welcome to the show.
Great to be here.
Great to have you on. So you spent 15 years at Google.
Yes.
What prompted you to start your own consulting business?
Yeah, I had been there a while, learned a ton, worked with a lot of great clients across industries, but I really just wanted, I think what a lot of people want when they go into consulting is control over their own time. You know, in corporate, you're traveling all the time, you know, not in control, you know, in a lot of meetings from, you know, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., back to backs a lot. And I really just wanted to try something different. My husband had been a consultant before, so I knew a little bit of the ropes and the logistics of it. But we also wanted to move out of a high cost of living area into a different area and both work remote. So it really worked out both from a lifestyle perspective and from a client perspective. I like working across a lot of different industries and a lot of different projects at the same time. And I find it really interesting and I've learned a ton.
Yeah. Well, congratulations for taking the plunge.
Yes.
And for making it work. What were some of the surprises?
You know, I'm used to doing sales. So the outbound part of it wasn't as hard for me as I know for some people, they're a little nervous about like maybe networking or putting themselves out there. That part was, you know, came a little more naturally, but still is a lot of work and a lot of time you have to put into business development. I think really just the time blocking of it, of how much time do you have to give to a client? How much time do you have to be doing business development to get clients? How much time do you want to invest in a community or other groups to network and learn? So really, you know, you have to think about your time. And I use calendar and I really do like block my calendar to do all of those things, which is super important. And some of just the logistics of starting a business, right? Setting up your contracting, your billing, your LLC, getting legal help, all of that is a part of it that takes time, right? So really blocking the time and researching what you need to start the business was really important in the first few years.
Yeah. Are there any portions of those activities where you felt really stretched when it came to having enough time to deliver what was needed?
Yeah, I think for me, I didn't start off with a huge social presence. I really focused on one channel, which I think was important for me on LinkedIn, where I had the most following. And I felt like I understood that platform really well. And I think that was good because I think if I tried to stretch into too much too early, which I feel a lot of people do. They're on, you know, Facebook or TikTok and Instagram and a lot of other channels. Trying to create unique content for each or stretch across can take a ton of time. I've really built my LinkedIn following. And then this year, I've tried to focus a little more on video, podcasts, and Instagram, but slowly building that out versus saying, you know, I have to be everywhere all the time. I have to be doing a million posts a week. You know, really thinking about yourself and scaling yourself slowly and finding what works and what your voice is important too in those channels.
Yeah, it's really smart. And actually, that's a mistake that many people make is they've tried to spread themselves too thin. They think they have to be everywhere. And, you know, I've been podcasting for a long time and people ask me about it. And I say, you know, find the channel that just speaks to you.
But absolutely.
Where do you naturally tend to go? What's easy for you? What's fun? You know, for me, I like asking people questions. So podcasting interview style makes it really easy. Totally. Honestly, I prefer that to like writing a ton of content or creating videos and sprinkling them on different social media channels. So again, I say, you know, I give the same advice to people, which is find what works for you, kind of master that channel and make sure that it works in terms of, you know, if you're doing it because you want a business development outcome, make sure you're getting the outcome.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think like starting in one channel and then, oh, okay, now I want to test out this and now I want to test out and create an Instagram presence or now I'm thinking about TikTok. Also understanding if your audience is there. For me, I don't think my audience really is on TikTok personally. So I haven't invested a ton of time there. Instagram, yes, a little bit. You know, that's a branding thing as well. So thinking about what each of those channels serves for you as a consultant and who you're speaking to and what voice in each channel, it might be slightly different. Especially folks that are on TikTok, that's a very different like audience than LinkedIn. And it's a very different way of communicating with your clients.
Yeah. Now, Katie, I know at Google, you wore many hats. Yes. How did the wearing of many hats help you when you started your consulting business?
Yeah, I think, you know, anyone that's worked in a large tech company or in corporate probably has had this experience, but particularly at Google, I think every team, you know, and I started in the earlier days in 2007, where, you know, our teams might have functioned much like little startups within Google. So we might be in business development or sales, but we might also be heavily involved in operation, in policy, in the product development and working with engineering. So it's very collaborative. You're working across a lot of channels. Your job is not like a clearly defined role, which is a good thing. It allows you to flex and learn a lot. And then I think as the company gets bigger or depending what arm you're in that company, then your role might get a little more defined and you're okay. Now I'm very specific on sales and I'm managing the sales team and that's my role. But I would say even when I was managing a very specific sales team in Google with a specific client segment, I'm still doing a ton of operations, a ton of working with HR, recruiting, a ton of working with our marketing team to stand up events and speak to our clients' needs. So I love the cross-functional aspect of it. It makes you a jack of all trades, but it also gives me a lot of insight now when I work with clients and they want to go to a conference and understand, okay, you're a small startup. You want to have a booth at this conference. Here's the things you need to think about because I've seen large companies do it. But, you know, how are we tracking our leads? How are we following up with those folks? So it was a good exposure to a lot of different parts of the business. And I think I use almost every skill I've learned there in some kinds of projects with clients today.
So with all of these different experiences and you're learning multiple skills, how do you figure out what to actually focus on as a consultant? Because as a consultant, the narrower you are in terms of identifying a niche and a process and a framework that's your specialty, the more valuable you are to your ideal clients.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I not made that mistake, but I kind of tried to go too wide when I started. I said, you know, I'll do everything sales and marketing. Well, that's a huge, big chunk, right? There's traditional marketing brand, which actually I do not do. I'm more on the digital marketing, the analytics side coming from Google. But actually what my main skill set is, what I mainly help clients with is sales. So in the last 2 years, I've leaned entirely into that as being my primary channel of like sales operations, sales strategy, growing a sales team, training a sales team, and having very specific offerings and examples under the bucket of sales. And then I like to say like my added value is, hey, I also know AdWords and analytics. I can jump into your AdWords account. I can jump into Constant Contact. I can jump into all these other channels from a marketing perspective and understand what's feeding those leads. Because sales and marketing is super connected. But, you know, I'm not an agency. I don't want to run your AdWords account forever. So I think knowing really clearly what you don't do and finding good partners that do those things is important. And then finding like, what's your primary? My primary is sales operations and sales strategy. And my secondary is some of these other skill sets that I could offer. But if you want someone a primary to own digital marketing, I have great referrals for you and I'll introduce you to them. So I think that was an important thing that a lot of consultants out of the gates think, oh, I'm going to do everything within this topic. And you realize pretty quickly, you actually maybe don't have the skill set. You have a basic skill set, but it takes you more time than someone who has deep expertise in that. And it would be better to subcontract out or refer out to that.
Mm-hmm. And is your work customized for every client, or do you have kind of standard offers that clients buy repeatedly?
Yeah. So I would say I have a more structured offering for a startup founder. I find a lot of founders that are doing their own sales at the moment and are founder-led, early-stage startup, they need someone just to set up the sales process with them or coach them on the sales process. So I have like a 3-month boot camp that I offer to those founders or very early-stage funders that I can do a lot in those 3 months. And I have kind of a structure that I'll go through with them. And that's kind of my startup boot camp model or an individual entrepreneur that I'll work with. For corporate clients, it's usually more bespoke. They're coming with a challenge. They might say, hey, we've been through some agencies. We'd like you to do an audit of our digital channels as well as how it relates to our CRM. Or, hey, we don't have a CRM at the moment. We'd like you to help set that up with us. Or we've reached this certain number of sales. We'd like to 3X that in the next year. How would you grow our sales team? What would our headcount look like for the year? What would our territory structure look like? So usually there's a question or a goal that they're looking to solve that I'm helping them with on the corporate side.
And how much do they typically know about the kind of work that you do so that they know what to look for, who to look for, what questions to ask, how to judge who might be a good consultant to solve the problems that they're facing?
Yeah, you know, it's hit or miss. I think with the startup side, they think of sales and business development as just like, okay, well, I just need to like go to a conference and have a booth, or I just need to do, you know, buy this service that's going to do lead gen and do 100 leads. And so sometimes I would say with the early stage founders, if they don't have a background in sales or business development, it's a challenge in terms of they don't know what they don't know. And usually with a conversation with me, I'm giving them some clarity of like, oh, here's how we've been doing things that maybe isn't cost effective or isn't structured at all. And Katie can help with that and give us a structure. With the clients that have a sales department or sales leaders I'm working with, I find they are more specific and like fine-tuned into what they need. And sometimes it's not what I do, or it's someone I have a partnership with. So I handle the strategy side, but I'm not a sales engineer, right? I'm not going to go in and implement into their, you know, Salesforce or their HubSpot. I can look at the reports and I can analyze it, but I'm not on the sales engineer, but I might know someone who's a great engineer. We might partner on that project together. So sometimes I might hear their challenge and say, okay, I can tackle this part and I have a great referral. Or if you yourself are also seeking someone on the eng side, bring that person in and together we'll work on this project. Because what I find is there's like the technical engineering aspect of it as well as the strategy aspect, and it goes hand in hand.
Yeah. In these conversations, are there particular ways that you try to both think about yourself and portray yourself so that certain things stand out and it helps make your own sales process more effective?
Yeah, I think, anchoring on my experience working at Google is usually very helpful to get your foot in the door, but also so people can understand the breadth of clients you worked with. I primarily worked with retail clients. I have a background in luxury retail working for LVMH. But while at Google, you know, there's different segments. I've worked B2B, I've worked lead gen, I've worked, you know, software sales. So like there's different components of different clients. So usually depending, I do a lot of research before the call on who the client is and what sector they're in. So I can give them specific examples of kinds of clients I've worked with like them and what I've done with them. Or if it's out of my wheelhouse, being very honest with that, being like, hey, I've actually never worked with this kind of client, but I find that this is similar and here's the work I've done. Does that sound like a fit for you? Because I think, you know, we can't always assume going in that we're the best person for that role. But oftentimes if people found me and read my bio, you know, for example, I had a client that was looking for someone with luxury background, a retail background in tech. I have all those three things, right? So it was a great fit. And you know, I was able to speak to all of those segments very clearly to them. But I think that's a big part of it, is putting your expertise out there on display, and then also being really honest with areas where you don't have expertise, but you, like I said, might have a good referral option or a good other partner that you could work with.
Right. You also have a combination of creative and analytical skills.
Yeah.
Right? Which is a combination of soft skills that may make you unique compared to other service providers.
Yeah, absolutely. I love to say that's kind of my superpower. You know, I'm a creative person at heart, love music. You know, I sing in a local choir. I was involved in theater all my life as a kid and then through college performing. So very comfortable, you know, speaking in front of folks, relating to folks, gone through a lot of leadership training with Google, which was very, very helpful and insightful in working across different industries and different personality types. Can think outside the box in terms of a problem and then have a deep network. I think that all goes to the creativity side of like, how can I solve this problem creatively? On the analytical side, you know, coming from a tech background, I'm no stranger to getting in the weeds and looking at reports and looking at data and trends and seeing the patterns that are emerging and talking through from an analytical standpoint of like, hey, this is not just about getting your brand out there and having a splashy presence at a conference. We also need to see what are the actual email leads? What is the open rate? Did these people convert? You know, a lot of sales is data, looking at the sales pipeline. Where are they coming in through the pipeline? How do we weight the pipeline? Analyzing territories. So that part of the job is also equally interesting to me. And I'm not afraid to get in there and you know, look at the Excel spreadsheets and manipulate the data and have fun with that. But I think in terms of problem solving, it's not always just what's the data. It's like what's behind that. So that's where the creativity comes in of thinking, oh, we're missing this segment. This channel or this region is performing super well. Why is that? Okay, let's talk through that a little bit and understand, okay, we want to grow in this way. What are some creative partnership ideas maybe we haven't thought about before?
Yeah. And then once you're working with a client, what do you find are some of the most important ingredients for long-term success of that engagement?
Yeah, good communication, I think, is key. You know, I'm always sending, you know, my weekly emails, you know, doing usually, you know, kickoff weekly calls. If I can get there in person, if that's a part of our contract, whether they be local or drivable to me, or I often have clients, you know, where there's going to be a part where I go and audit in person. I think that's a great way to really immerse yourself with the team, but I can do it remotely as well. But I think immersing yourself with the team, truly understanding their business in that first month or two working together so that I know the ins and outs of their process, because every team is going to be very unique in that regard. And then continuing that check-in process of, hey, here's what I found so far. Here's some initial audits I've done. Does that resonate with you? Do you like the delivery of this? What formats do you prefer? Like, I want to use the formats and the language that's going to resonate with them. So I do think as a consultant, you can't just be pumping out, you know, information to a client without checking in. Because sometimes with us, we have a lot in our head and it can be information overload. So I'll often position of like, here's a, you know, full audit, but here are the top three things I'd like to fix with you in the next month. If you were to ask me the two things I think that are absolutely critical, P0 that you do in the next month to gain business, these are them. So I try to like really focus in and then let's build upon those things. And oh, great, we've accomplished those two things. Now let's go to the secondary things I was talking about. I think it's important that things are, you know, bite-sized enough that you can accomplish them versus being, you know, coming in and saying, I'm the consultant and here's, you know, 20 things we have to do. Not everything can be, you know, the first priority. We have to like go through and think through what that is. And the client has to as well. It's a two-way conversation. I could think something super valuable and the CEO could say, I've tried that before. Actually, I don't want to go into that, or I don't want to invest in that. I actually like option 2 and 3 better. So it's really this constant check-in to make sure that the work we're doing is, you know, valuable to them and able to be accomplished.
Yeah. Katie, I want to go back to something we talked about earlier with regard to channels and places where you make a conscious effort to be visible. Can you share a little bit about where you have been successful at not only creating content, but being featured on other people's platforms?
Yeah, I think for me, LinkedIn has been a very good platform in terms of putting out what I do, whether it be, you know, case studies, I think we're going to talk about community later, but I'm in a couple communities where, you know, I might be featured in a spot from them or an award or a write-up in an article. Sharing that expertise is super important, and I tend to get the most engagement on those kinds of posts. Also, when I go behind the scenes, actually one of my most successful posts last year was just like, and it was via the Upside, which is a community I'm a part of, but it was like an hourly breakdown of your day as a consultant. And it was like, here's how I spend my day. And it was like talking through every hour of the day, talking through a little bit of my time management, but then you get a peek inside what I actually do with clients and the kind of meetings I'm having and the kind of heads down work I'm doing. And then also my personal life and how I'm balancing that. So I think, you know, a great mix of the business and the personal, however much you're comfortable sharing, I think is important. And it makes you a real person. We can tell when things are written by AI and seem super generic versus I always wanted things to feel like they're in my voice with my personality is infused in there. So that's something I'm always, I'd rather write like one great piece a month than, you know, two a week that seem super generic. So that's something I've taken time and I've gotten results from it. So I had two, you know, my biggest client last year was a direct cold LinkedIn outreach, finding me on LinkedIn. Another client that I went into a partnership agreement with was also a direct outreach from LinkedIn. So I think it's really great. And here's the salesperson in me. As you're testing different channels, tracking back which of those actually led to sales or meetings, even if you're just doing it in a simple spreadsheet of like, okay, this person asked for a meeting. Where did they come from? And you can put that in your Calendly or your link, right? So you're tracking back to be like, this person found me on my website, on Google, on Instagram, on LinkedIn. Oh, they were referred by another, you know, someone in my network. Oh, I volunteer at Techstars. And it was actually a startup that I worked with 6 months ago that came back to ask for me. So those are all things, because then you can evaluate, is this channel actually profitable for me? And what kind of, you know, ROI am I getting from that channel? So I'm always looking to tweak that and understand, you know, which channels are valuable. And some things are valuable in terms of followers and eyes and visibility. And some things are valuable in terms of like, here's a tactical, like one-to-one, I got a client from this post or from this event that I attended.
Right. So it's not just the data, it's actually interpreting the data.
Yeah, absolutely. And because you might say like, you know, you might look at a conference you went to and said, I got, you know, a couple hundred contacts. Of those contacts, maybe those people aren't my customers, but they actually someone referred me to a customer. Or I went into a partnership agreement with another corporate group I met there. And then that resulted in clients. So actually that is one removed from the conference, but the conference was the starting point. So that was a good channel for you. So I think you kind of have to, every year I kind of go back and evaluate and make a pie chart for myself of like, where did my leads come from? And I look at it every year and I think about, okay, cool. I'll go back to this conference. Oh, I want to try something different here. Okay, LinkedIn is working. Instagram is not. Let's figure out what I can do to spice up Instagram or figure out that channel.
Yeah, it makes sense. Katie, since you mentioned community, let's talk a little bit about that. How are you tapping into community to support your success?
Yeah, I'm a part of two communities that I'm very active in, you know, a couple other ones too. But in terms of like communities where I find the most engagement involved in the Upside, which is how I found you. And they're a great community run by Aaron Halper of consultants across all different functions. A lot of great engagement. We have a Circle online group where we post questions. We have meetups into various subgroups. I'm in a great tech group that I'm a part of that we meet up in person and monthly over Zoom to talk through challenges to the business and have guest speakers. A lot of learning goes on there. I'm also a part of the board, which is run by April Uchitel, and that is an awesome community of really premier consultants that came from corporate, many of which were in fashion, retail, or luxury background. So it's a little more niche and it functions a little bit differently. We have our own kind of board meetings and in-person sessions. We do have virtual learning. And then also it functions a bit as an agency where we provide dream teams or blue sky sessions for a business. So often, like I was saying, tapping into other consultants is really key. I use the board for that primarily. If someone comes to me and says, I'm launching a new brand, I'm in the UK and looking to come to the US market, maybe I can advise them on the sales or digital marketing side, but they want someone to talk about product distribution. They want someone to talk about getting into Sephora and, you know, physical stores of which I'm not an expert, I could bring that project to the board and we could create a group of consultants for them to work and iterate on a brainstorm session with them. So there are different flavors of community, but I find them all equally valuable. And then I'm a part of a lot of Slack communities where I might just go in and read updates or post something. And it's not as involved in those two other communities, but I still find them useful.
Yeah. Katie, what's one thing that a corporate refugee can do today to really move the ball forward?
Yeah, I think really getting a handle on your skill set of like what is your skill set that makes you unique? Where do you have expertise? You know, I often tell people when I'm in training around, like, what's your area of expertise? What question would you be super excited to see come up on Jeopardy? What topic could you speak on for 15 minutes unprompted? You know, those are areas of which you have expertise. Some of them might be personal passions and hobbies. Some of them might be business related. And sometimes they're intertwined and actually help each other, right? So, you know, I have a background in theater. I love performing. That actually leads to being a good speaker or a good guest sometimes. So you can lean into that skill set. You know, I really know digital marketing well or sales strategy. Those are areas where I could prepare a talk or prepare a training and feel very comfortable in. So when you're in corporate, understanding you could be a jack of all trades, but what are those two or three skill set that you really want to, if you were to go solo, that you could actually charge people for and that you could create and visualize a project path for? That's where to start, I think, having one or two of those and really trying to flesh out what is the offer you would give to someone. How would the client approach you? What are the keywords they might be searching on? How would you price yourself? So really starting to like brainstorm and think in that mindset. I certainly never thought in that mindset when I was in corporate. I was already very, very heads down in my role. And I wish I would have like picked my head up a little to see what other people who were consulting were doing so that I could, you know, enrich that skill set more while I was in corporate.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. But, you know, you've seem to have done a great job making the transition from corporate into your own business. If somebody wants to go deeper with anything we've discussed today, access any resources you have or learn more about you and get in touch with you, where's the best place for them to go?
Yeah, you can reach out to me on LinkedIn, search Katie Motz, M-O-T-Z Wilson. You can also search Serious Moonlight Consulting is my business. My website, seriousmoonlightconsulting.co. Has a lot of examples of case studies of clients I've worked with, as well as offerings I have. So I'd love to set up time and talk with people more.
Great. Well, Katie, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau and share some snippets about your own experiences and your own journey. My guest today has been the founder of Serious Moonlight Consulting, Katie E. Wilson. Thank you, Katie, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of Smashing the Plateau. Our mission is empowering people like you to do more of what you love and get paid what you're worth. Help us spread the message that you can connect passion with profit. Please share this episode with a friend, share it on LinkedIn, and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. I wish you much success in smashing your plateau. See you on our next episode.